What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, Clint Switzer.
How is it going, my man?
It's going pretty good, man. How you doing?
I got to be honest, throwing out some honesty here. It's Monday morning, and when I scheduled this interview with you, I did not have, you know, I'm in Kansas City. I did not have the Chiefs losing to the Broncos yesterday on my bingo card to lead into this interview. So I'm a little rattled by that loss.
Still. Okay.
You get it. You know.
I'm a Minnesota fan, so I know. I live it.
I know that. And you also had Kirk Cousins go down with an Achilles injury yesterday as well, out for the year.
That was a great day for me, but go ahead.
I mean, what is it about? I mean, this football thing, it just kind of runs that. This is just sort of how it is. It gets in your mind and it does not let go. Although, what do I to complain about? I have 2 Super Bowls in the last 4 years. I should just shut up right now.
Yes. And also, just you've got the Chiefs, you see?
Right.
So you got to remember something. Okay. DT.
Derek Thomas. My God.
You got to remember those Super Bowl Chiefs. Who were miscoached.
Marty Schottenheimer.
In postseason.
Yes, you're right. That was definitely our MO. And the Vikings
got themselves there. 3 times.
Yeah,
maybe
many times.
4. Right? Short of championship games.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
I know it. I lived it just like you, and the Vikings have never quite gotten to that brass ring, but it will happen someday. I'm cheering for it. There are neighbors to the north. How did you become a Vikings fan, by the way?
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
Everybody was supposed to be a Redskin fan. I'm 6 years old. I watched the Redskins Super Bowl against the Dolphins the year after I saw this purple team in the Super Bowl with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And I liked it. This purple team's defense was off the hook. The quarterback was scrambling. They had a great, great offense. Receivers everywhere. I was like, you know what? This year I like the Vikings. And we went to 4 Super Bowls from there. I mean, 2 more Super Bowls from there. 2 more Super Bowls from there. As a kid, I couldn't have bet on a better team because I won more often than anybody in the whole neighborhood because we always won our division. We always won an NFC championship. I mean, what can I say?
Wow. That's crazy. And you were just on with Shannon Sharp a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
On his podcast. What was that like? That was a great interview. I was blown away by that.
Speaking of football and just life, it was really a full circle for moment for both of us because in my career, movies, TV, and doing the things that I do, I came in touch with Neil Smith. Neil Smith through Derek Thomas. Me and Derek Thomas were best friends.
Wow.
And so I met Neil through him. And so when Neil went to Denver, Neil said, hey, man, I need you to be up here for the games with me. You know, so I was up there at the games. It became a lifestyle for me, Denver. You know what I mean? So he had left KC, gone there, done really, really, really well.
Won 2 Super Bowls, sadly.
Shannon was one of the players.
Sure.
Shannon saw me all the time there. So what's this TV movie star doing at my games? Or, you know, but he really, but, you know, and that's how it worked out. Who knows?
I that's incredible. And I'm still, you've said some triggering things already, Tommy. That's another one. Neil Smith going to Denver and winning 2 Super Bowls is also triggering. So, you know, but I'm just going to have to let that stuff go. I just am because
it's still triggering. Yeah. You're still hurting, you know. And what happened to a tight end last night? Is he hurt?
Travis Kelce?
Yeah.
Well, no, he had 50 yards in the first half, needed just 21 to break the Chiefs' all-time receiving record, got none in the second half. The Chiefs' offense was lifeless. Taylor Swift wasn't there. It was a mess.
Right. You got to get it. Hey, let's credit Denver's defense.
We have to. We do. And the Chiefs have beaten the Broncos 16 straight times. It's really hard to do that. And we'll see kind of how things go. But, Tommy, this is such a pleasure. And I'll tell you, on this show is called On the Road to Rock. We interview members for bands like Alice Cooper, Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Poison. And now, because we love to make it as well-rounded as possible, we go around all genres of music, whether it be country, hip-hop. And now Tommy Davidson is on this show talking about music that you've released. And I have to admit, I live in Kansas City. We have a lot of jazz clubs around. I grew up kind of hearing a lot of jazz music or different types of music. These songs that you've released, Tommy, are tremendous, and I'm so glad that I was able to be a part of this and to be able to interview you to talk about your songs, these three singles you've released. They're tremendous.
Hey, man, this is Planet Earth. You know, if you're able to do some things that you really, really want to do, it makes you really, really happy, don't it?
Yeah.
You know, like your podcast or whatever you started. We're just these little monkeys that just want to have a happy time until the curtains go down, you know? You know, we ended up on the scene all of a sudden, like, oh, whoa, where am I? You know, why'd you smack my ass? You know, and then it's just here we are. The music itself is something that's been in me for a long time. Mm. I'm kind of like the Deion Sanders of entertainment. You know, yeah. I may be coming the rock way. I may be coming the rock direction. I'm starting with smooth jazz. I'm an entertainer and I'm a singer, musician, producer in music as well. Oh. So what that means is this is the beginning. You know, I can't even, I am going to probably finish the song I'm doing with Stevie Nicks. Well, the song that I'm putting together with Stevie Nicks, Jerry Cantrell, who else can I say? Phil Collin from Def Leppard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tell you, because why would I not do it? Because I'm in smooth jazz, you know, I'm in the process of going ahead and just finishing what, you know, what the good guys put me here to do, which is, you know, be happy and be crafty.
I'm so impressed and I'm so intrigued by that. And the fact that you want to move into other musical realms, but speaking specifically about the songs that you have, you can go to your website right now and hear these, or at least a couple of them, thetommydavidson.com. Kid Zero is kind of the single here. And I don't know what I was expecting, but when I clicked onto this file and I'm listening to it, I'm just like, man, it just kind of put me in a mood. I love music that immediately, no matter what kind of music, and it just puts you in a mood. I mean, yeah, it kind of put me in like into a dentist chair. In a way, and that is not denigrating at all. That is,
well,
like,
don't get hurt. Yeah, don't get hurt over it.
Exactly. But like,
don't
really
put in pain. Yeah.
I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting this, and mm-hmm. this. But just kind of talk about that single, the Kid Zero song, because I think it has some like excellent like wraparound vocals. The music is so well constructed, and just who you worked with, Julian Vaughn. I think you worked with on this one.
Julian Vaughn is from Kansas City.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah.
He's one of the top smooth jazz bassists in the whole business. Kansas City, buddy. Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Also Chiellini Minucci.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Italy, but lives in New York, New Jersey, New York. With special effects and has worked for years and years and years. Greg Manning, another producer who does producing all around. The bottom line with Kid Zero is Kid Zero fits that listener. Kid Zero fits the listener that likes to go on journeys in their head.
Yeah.
Or loves the mellow side of it. You know, I happen to be a freaking platypus and like it all, you know, but I can groove with anyone. Kid Zero actually was my sort of gift to me. Kid Zero's me. and you philosophically,
mm-hmm.
because I can't be here and be knocking on this wood here if I'm nothing. I can't be something if I come from nothing. I mean, and when you count to one, you can count to infinity, but where does it start? It seems like nothing, but what, right? But this is also, the cover of the song has John Brown on it. John Brown, the abolitionist. Okay, I was left in the trash when I was a baby. I was found randomly by a white woman out of Wyoming and Colorado. That made me Kid Zero there, okay? Joining us Kid Zeros. But here's the big part. John Brown took his whole family out of Missouri and took some friends out of Kansas. And they went down and were going to abolish slavery themselves. Went to Harpers Ferry. They get slaughtered. His sons, he lives. They're going to hang him. And that painting on the front of my cover is a small African-American child kissing him on the cheek. And at her feet is all these black and white children. We're all Kid Zero.
That's amazingly powerful.
Okay. And I did the song to spark that spirit in us, because nobody really talks about, you know, the news never really talks about the well-meaning white people in this country, or the white people that don't have a racist bone in their body, you know? Mm-hmm. It just says this happened and that, you know, and this and that, you know, but it's just not true. You look at that painting, and even back then, we were just like me and you right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so
and
powerful.
And that's what Kid Zero's about.
Man.
Kid Zero's about that.
That's thought-provoking, and that's like goes beyond music, and I think that that's and the art, like you said, I was looking at that on your website, thetommydavidson.com, and like that scene is kind of circled, like the man kissing the child on the is like circled and like in red.
Yeah, Kid like, Zero.
Yeah,
in chief red. You know, hey, maybe you. Kansas red, maybe Kansas red, because music does that, right? Carry on my wayward son.
Well,
there'll be peace when you are done. Don't let you weary get to rest and to cry no more.
That's, you know, Kansas is like 6 miles that linked. Way, and we don't acknowledge that state here in Missouri.
We're linked.
No, yeah, it is. The other songs too, I want to get, because like you have. I Know featuring Richard Elliott, Sweet Reunion featuring Dave Koz. Mm-hmm. These songs, like, do you feel like these songs are kind of intertwined in a way? You talked about the meaning of Kid Zero, but do you feel like these are story wise kind of intertwined in some way?
Yeah. Everything that I do has some kind of a relationship to my journey, and my journey is connected to everyone else's. So with Sweet Reunion, my mom, she passed away, and I had a daughter recently, 2 years old. So I've always loved this song, Sweet Reunion by Kenny Loggins. And I've wanted to record it since 81, you know, no, 91. And I finally got it done. And what it means to me is my mom coming back to me through my daughter.
Oh,
you see, so it's the song was so fitting, and me and Dave Koz became friends because I was on his smooth jazz tour doing comedy, and he noticed that I was musical. So you should get into some music. He didn't know I was already in it. I've been a singer since I was a kid, but when I gave him the track and I said, hey, you interested in being on this, he said yeah. And so Sweet Reunion came to be. And Sweet Reunion is for everyone.
That's interesting. The Kenny Loggins aspect, I didn't put that together. Kenny Loggins, a yacht rock, Sirius XM superstar that must be respected. I love Kenny Loggins. I have to be honest. I love 80s soundtracks, and Kenny Loggins is the king.
Kenny Loggins is one of the greatest American songwriters is what he is. Taylor, you know, we go on and on and on, you know, a genreless, you know. This is the reason why I got into it. You know, I look at your backdrop and all things good, You know what I mean?
That's what I'm going for. Even the Hulk good. Hogan down here. Yeah, I try to.
Come on, man. All things good. All things good, right?
Well, so what kind of music were you listening to growing up? Obviously, everything is the answer to that is everything. Everything.
Yeah, if you grew up in the 70s, you know, there really was all these categories.
Yeah.
It was AM and FM. And if you can get them to come in clear in your bedroom, then you listen to the music. You know? And that was everything from Rod Stewart to Earth, Wind & Fire to whatever, you know, was there, you know, Kool & the Gang, you know, all the stuff that we know together. And now it's not really spread like that because you can listen to just what you like, and that's it. But if you don't listen to something that you don't think you're going to like, you'll never know if you're going to like it.
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of, even in when I grew up in like the 80s and early 90s, that you listened to the radio, you didn't have the opportunity to just seek out and make your own playlist. You could make your own mixtape. That took some technology and some advancement. I didn't quite reach that level for a while.
Took some time.
I didn't have any girlfriends to make anything for. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. That is interesting because today it's also accessible. And yet also like a lot of people like me, we had Jesse James Dupree from Jackal on a few weeks ago. And he asked me, he goes, when's the last time you listened to an album front to back, any album? And I was like, I don't know. That's sad in a way that I haven't taken the time to sit there and listen to anything. Just, all 10 songs. And it all tells a story. Yeah. And that's the kind of way we consume music. And that's kind of sad.
Yeah. But we're here now. You know, I'm sure when a car came around the corner, all the people on horses were going, look at that contraption. Probably doesn't even go up hills, you know, probably doesn't even go up hills, man. You know, and it probably didn't then. But now cars are named after horsepower. So there's no reason for us to be sad because new things are happening.
True.
You know, it's just expressing and communicating value. There's value in a horse because a horse can still do things a car cannot. You see?
Yeah.
So there's certain value there, right? So we can, what we can do as entertainers and communicators like you, we can start to point out the value in things. You see what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's what should be focused on more. And you're right. Do you get, of all the things you do, acting, stand-up comedy, music, is there the gratification that you get from the music side of thing? How does that stack up with being on stage with 10,000 people and just everybody erupting, or being in a movie scene that's iconic, or being in a comedy sketch that people are still watching on YouTube a million times a day? How does the music stack up with that?
Yeah, it's just with all of it. Because I love it when I'm by myself, you know.
Yeah.
I love entertainment. I love it all when I'm by myself. So to be able to do music, I mean, I'm entertained by entertainment. So it's just for me to actually be doing this one. Like, for instance, I'm a kid watching cartoons my whole freaking life. Now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing it. But I'm watching them too. They're part of me. Everything that I do is actually a real sincere part of me. You know?
That's rare. It's rare that people get that opportunity to express themselves in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
exciting.
It's real exciting. It's real exciting. And it's in every branch of life too. You know, everyone gets to enjoy that feeling, you know? And that's why I'm glad I'm in entertainment, because I basically like for people to feel good.
Yeah.
So I'm in the feel good business.
And it's an important one. When it comes to comedians and they always say, you look at so many ones that, Robin Williams and Chris Farley and John Belushi that died way too young, and they always say that every comedian that, you know, that you guys are so good at what you do because it comes from some sort of inherent darkness. Do you find that to be the case for yourself? Does it come from somewhere dark?
You know, I guess there's a point to that. I guess there's a point to that, you know, but I see that darkness happen to everyone.
Yeah.
There's that, you know, how many truckers have gone through the same thing that Farley went through that you'll never even hear of.
Yeah.
It's a good thing that you can put a spotlight on something that happened so tragic like that. And you get to see it. You know, you get to shed a light on it. Whereas an anonymous person somewhere, you know, rolled up in a bag and driven away, you know. But it does, for me, I can only speak for me in that, it gave me a reason to be happy. It gave me a reason to laugh. It's my relief. You know, being left, everybody's got their own personal story. Mine is I was left in the trash can as a baby. Someone else is different, you know. And, you know, we're living in, you know, two worlds, dark and light. You know what I mean? And we'll all pause and get real silent when we go, why are we shooting? Why is this public shooting happening? Right. And why isn't anybody doing about gun control? Why is everybody so afraid of them? You know, and then things get like, it's Halloween again. So thank God we got the game last night. Thanks God we got, you know, Kid Zero. Thank God we got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, there is a point to it, but I think our society is like that.
We got to talk about In Living Color, because I got to talk about the importance of that show and what it did for me. I grew up in a small town called Clinton, Missouri, about an hour from Kansas City, about 8,000 people. You know, I didn't know much growing up, small, tight-knit community. I watched Saturday Night Live and I enjoyed it. I loved that era. But there was something about In Living Color that it's almost like it opened up a new door for me. I was able to see things in a new light, like just that style of humor. There was an edge to it. The talent that was a part of that show, yourself and David Alan Greer and Jamie Foxx and on, Keenan Ivory Wayans. This show, I think for so many people, subconsciously, was so important, because I think that it the edginess of it, I'm a bigger fan of it than I am Saturday Night Live. And that was the peak era of Saturday Night Live. But what you guys did and those sketches, and I think it opened up so many people's eyes to just a different style and a different type of, I mean, this is like when Michael Jordan and the Bulls are going strong, and there's so many things that, like, I was becoming aware of, you know, I was 7 or 8 years old when I started watching it. So do you hear that a lot, that like a lot of people that, you know, maybe were from small towns or from that weren't like just culturally appropriated to everything that in the world.
I love that word. I'm not thinking about use that.
Please do.
Culturally appropriated. And I like that.
Do you think that that's the case for a lot of people? I mean, it was for me. So have you heard that before? Is that something that you take, you know, as an important thing?
Yeah. It's the reason why the show did so well.
Yeah.
Because it got into a lot of corners. It got into a lot of corners of this country where a lot of white people actually didn't believe that they could identify with black humor. They didn't think that, and a lot of them are very apprehensive because they don't want to offend black people either. So all of a sudden they're seeing this show where they can laugh openly with black people. That's like a first.
Interesting, because like it did make me like, I don't know, I went back and, you know, I my mom wouldn't let me watch Eddie Murphy, but like I found Eddie Murphy Raw one night on like HBO, and I was just like, that's the funniest person I've ever seen to this day.
Right.
And what you guys did, like, say
that again, boy. That is the funniest person I've ever seen, too.
Prior, certainly, I'd watched Superman 3, and I was like, I didn't know that he was a stand-up comedian. He was so good in Superman 3 that I whipped. So all that stuff, and how important that is. I mean, like, and it's just kind of funny to look back, but I'm like, that's probably around the time I started watching Martin became popular on TV, right? Mm-hmm. And like to see Martin Short, to see what, you know, what Martin Lawrence was doing and all these things. I think that that's really important. And part of like my upbringing that it was a subconscious thing that I think that maybe a lot of people would agree with me on that.
Yeah, they would agree with you on that. And that's my point of Kid Zero, too.
Yeah.
You know, the good thing about me being here and being able to talk and being able to walk and, you know, being right here and alive is that I can point out the things that people think. And I can confirm their thinking. I can confirm, you know what? Yeah, Tommy is right, man. You know, this is a bunch of ridiculousness. And I just love to love, man. I just love to love and love to be loved. And I just want to be okay. And I want to do good things. And I want to try to be a good person. All those things, no one ever really emphasizes on anymore. Mm. You know, you put that daggone phone in my hand and all of a sudden broccoli, you know, broccoli can cure the world. I'm like, where did that come from? And I'm trying to get to a song.
I hope that's not the case because I could never eat it. So I hope that's fake. You guys did Ace and Main Man. That was my jam back then. Like the Tupac being on there, like what was that like shooting that car? Because like the whole people don't remember Ace and Main Man, you guys were like concert bouncers.
Oh, yeah.
You never let the right people into the show. It was hilarious, and you wouldn't let Tupac into his own show. And what was it like? Did you get much interaction with Tupac? And what was that like?
Yeah, Tupac actually was a really cool person, man. He was really, he's really kind of shy to me. You know, he was really kind of, hey, how you doing? Like, man, I'm a big fan of yours. And, you know, and I'm like, man, thank you, man. Thank you. You know, he was very respectful. Very, you know, he was younger than much. Younger
yeah, he
than
was
me.
So young. He was like 22 or 3 years old.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, for me around the way, he's a shorty, you know? So it was just good to work with him, but he was a superstar.
Yeah.
Already. Like he was already on his way. You know, it wasn't maybe a year after that he became, you know, international star, man.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if that was before or after Above the Rim came out, because that's, I love that movie. And
It was after.
And they just caught his killer, I think, which is insane. That's, I hope that's the right person or whatever. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, me too.
It blew my mind. You've talked before about kind of your relationship with Jamie Foxx. That's been in a lot of interviews and things, but I've never heard like how it was with James Carey. We have to call him James because that was his name on In Living Color.
that's probably one of my best friends right there. We were friends before In Living Color too.
Really?
Yeah, we were comics at the Comedy Store. All I can say is that, you know, he's a really neat guy, man. And he's a funny mother. I mean, he goes the whole way. He goes the whole way. We're lucky to have him.
Did you ever, I mean, being around all these people, the Comedy Store, you know, I'm a big Pauly Shore fan. Well, I shouldn't say big, but I did enjoy like the 90s era Pauly Shore. But being around these people, the Jim Carreys and all the great cast members that you worked with, did you ever adapt things from each one of them when you're doing your own stand-up stuff? Because I just watched your 1991 stand-up special that's on YouTube right now. And like, I felt like you were very unique. Like it's not like I looked at that and was like, oh man, that was Eddie Murphy or that. Oh yeah. But do you feel like that you did adopt styles from other comedians or?
I did, but I was lucky enough to be able to be born with my own.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Like I had my own thing to bring to the table, but looking at what other people can do and adapting techniques to enhance what I already had naturally, and then work for the actual technique of doing stand up, is what gave me my like performance excellence.
And you're continuing that on here into next week, later
Hold
in
on.
The week. It's
Hold on, Bear wants to say hi. Say hi, Bear Bear. Say
oh
hi.
My goodness!
Hi.
Hello.
Okay.
There's a cutie right there. That's your 2-year-old right there. Oh.
Yeah, she had to make her appearance. We've already been talking. We were already talking about her anyway, baby.
We did. I'm so
you
glad.
You want to take a pot with me? Ask her, baby.
Take a pot with Daddy.
That is that. Well, that is a. it's hard to, how do you go from there? It's like, that's hard to go on from something as amazing as that, but we'll sure try. She's so cute.
I want to look up the town and find out the history of that town.
Of Kansas City?
Yeah, of Missouri.
Oh yeah, Kansas. Yeah, Missouri is
No, the town. You
Clinton. Clinton. Yes, Clinton, Missouri.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm wondering if some of the guys from there didn't go with John Brown.
Oh, it's possible because Osceola was a big part of that. Osceola, Missouri, if you read a lot of the Civil War history, was a big part of like the Kansas-Missouri border skirmishes. Mm-hmm, so Clinton, Missouri is only 30 miles from Osceola. It definitely does.
Gotta be. I just thought it was marvelous that, you know, here's these like really, really, let's say, not rich white families that yeah. have brought themselves to the point where they can have statehood.
Yeah.
They've made enough agricultural resources. They've done enough to do all that. But they say they don't want a part of that. They don't want a part of that slavery thing.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just still is so, it's still amazing to me. And they were willing to fight for it.
And Missouri is one of the, if you look at Civil War history, the craziest state, because 70% of the state fought for the Union Army, 30% for the South. So you had, it was very divided. And if you ever get to Clinton, Missouri, go to the museum. My grandma, 88 years old, Mimi, is a guide there, and she would be glad to take you through and give you all of it. Give you all
that. You made my whole day right now, man.
She would be glad to do it if you're ever in town. I know you got some tour dates coming up, but you know, you're gonna be in Florida and some, you know, Chicago. But that's what you got, some dates coming up. That's gonna be a blast. Is Cat Williams on some of these or on all of them?
It is Cat Williams.
Yeah.
For that tour, just go to what is that? TheTommyDavidson.com.
Yes.
For all my concerts and stuff like that. I'm still a stand up. I'm on tour for life. So, you know.
I can't tell you like what this has meant. And I really like want to continue to put light on everything that you do, but specifically, you know, the music, because, you know, this could be for a lot of people, a first chance to discover what you do. And I want that to certainly be the case. So that the songs are there on the website. I assume that they're available also anywhere you know, Spotify.
Spotify, Apple, anywhere where you get your music, just put in Tommy Davidson. You know, you'll see a couple of clowns attached to me, but I'm in the middle. I'm in the middle. And just, you know, give it a listen, man. Giving it, those songs were made to love and made to be a part of your life. Like music is for me. Music helps me study. Music helps me think. You know, if I'm down, music brings me up. You know?
Yeah.
If I'm up, music brings me down. It's music. I make the kind of music that people can live to, because I lived to the music that made me.
You know Kansas City's history with this type of music, and you know you've worked with a wonderfully world-renowned artist that's a part of this scene here, and to have that tie to you, I will always remember that and remember these songs as a part of just the lore of not only this city, the genre itself, the great musicians that came before. And Tommy, I can't thank you enough. Drop me a line sometime. Come out to Missouri. We got some good barbecue here. If you like barbecue, we can at least do that.
I just was there. We just ran Kansas City performance with Cat Williams. Yeah, we were. I had Gates. I did the whole Kansas City thing. The wife of Mr. Gates came to the show.
What venue do you play here?
My church is in Kansas City too. So I have a good time when I'm there. KC is my place. I told you, because of Derek.
Right, DT, man. He's my favorite chief of all time. So that. It's very meaningful.
And Robert was the prop master for In Living Color. And he's from Kansas City.
I love that. I think that's so the way that lives are intertwined, and you've been all over the world and all over the country. So you probably have those kind of ties in a lot of places, but.
I do. Luckily I do. I mean, fortunately I really do. I got a lot to be happy about.
that's what it's all about. And I do as well. And thank you so much, Tommy, for your time and continued success, guys. The website, again, thetommydavidson.com. You can get it all right there. And just continue the love, continue the cycle of positivity. And Tommy, can't thank you enough, my friend.
And I'll put this out there. You guys have another shot at Denver in the AFC Championship.
Well, no, we won't. They will not. They're not a playoff team. They won't be anywhere near it. That okay. won't happen. Mark okay. it down. No Denver in the playoffs. No way. They're 3-5.
Okay. I thought that last night. Like, I'm going, hey, what's going to happen here? You know what I mean?
Chiefs Dolphins in Germany. You better set your alarm clock. Okay, Chiefs Dolphins in Germany at 8 a.m. on Sunday. How about that?
You're doing your podcast the morning of the AFC right. Championship in Denver. Okay?
Okay, now, no, absolutely.
If you guys are in the AFC Championship with Denver,
yep.
Okay, you have to do a podcast with me.
100%. 100% it's on. I promise you, I will get. I got Jody Best, our publicist. I will get to her, and I will make Please. It happen.
Okay.
Promise.
Okay.
All right, Tommy. Take it easy.
Have a good one. Thank you, right, too, man.
You too. Thanks.
Appreciate you, man.
You bet.